Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting this evening, January 14th. As we get back to business, hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas time and that everyone will have a wonderful new year, certainly for you individually and our city. That's what we hope and pray for. And we thank you for being here this evening. And as we go through our meeting, if you want to speak on a subject that's on our agenda, you certainly may be able to do that. Just raise your hand at the appropriate time, and we'll certainly call on you and let you do that. As we begin, we'll have council prayer and also pledge of allegiance to our flag.
Let us pray. God of refuge and strength, be with us this year as each of us, council members and staff, whom you have called to serve, strive to do the work of the people. Inspire us with a desire to work together to accomplish wonderful and insightful results for this community. Give us strength, courage, integrity, and wisdom to work together through the coming days and months. Bestow your blessings on our nation, our president, our state, our governor, mayor, and all who serve the city of Aiken in any capacity. Protect our defenders of freedom at home and abroad as they protect us. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just before I forget it, we do have a group from the leadership Aiken County. Each year they have a group of folks that learn all about the county and the state and all there is to know about government in the state. And where are they? Back on the right there. Thank you for being here with us this evening. Appreciate it very much. The first item of business is the consideration of the minutes from the regular meeting of December 10, 2012.
Yes. Uh-huh. There's a little bit of an amendment. It's not reflected in the minutes that I had not received the package that Mr. Ebner was discussing, and I asked the city manager during the meeting to send me a copy, and I think Mr. Pierce can attest to that. I think I'd like to have that added into the minutes.
Oh, okay.
And Mayor, I do have the memo that was given to council at the December 10 meeting. What we've also provided a hard copy of our various emails sent to council members in relation to the nomination. Mr. Ebner had requested at the December 10 meeting to include it in the November minutes, but since it was an item for the December 10 meeting, my understanding was he's going to make the request that they be included in the minutes for the December 10 meeting, which are before you tonight. And I think some council members had some questions about the inclusion of the emails, and Mr. Smith has researched that. Gary, could you?
Yes, sir. Thank you. All the council members should have received my memo regarding council's ability or council members' ability to include items in the meeting minutes. The Freedom of Information Act makes it clear that if a single city council member desires to include information within the minutes of the city council meetings, that council member is able to do that. It's not really anything that we've done in my 17 years of advising city council. We really don't have a formal procedure for doing that, but I do believe it would be best to provide advance notice to the city manager so that he can include whatever package it is a council member wishes to include in the minutes, so that all of the council members are aware of what will be included in the minutes. At that point, when the agenda item is reached where council is to approve the minutes of the past meeting, that council member would then move to also amend the meeting minutes to include whatever package it was that he had provided to the city manager. Does that sound fair to council?
Yeah. I guess the one that I just gave you there is relation to the Jim Lakes Roads extension, and somewhere or another, Mr. Pearson, I didn't communicate. And so,
this is on the minutes and the emails.
Okay, this is not this subject.
It's not that item, right? That item I thought we were going to take up at the end of the meeting with the issues and updates.
Okay. The other comment I have is on page 10, and I just mentioned to Mr. Pierce before the meeting, and you might mention about the cover at the Horizons meeting about the capital project sales tax, because there's a little different interpretation. That was where it says it stated this right was included in the ballot about who can change the order of the projects.
Yeah, we've had a question from a couple of council members about that, and I was going to address that at the end of the meeting.
In the meeting? Okay, that'll be good.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved. And what is the motion?
Approve the minutes as...
Are you also including the package that you submitted?
Can you do the appropriate motion then?
Oh. There was a letter dated December the 10th of 2012, and that letter was from Councilmember Ebner to the city manager. The subject of that letter was name withdrawal from the Planning Commission, and attached to that letter was a total package of 35 pages. And Mr. Ebner was asking that be included as part of the November 26, 2012 minutes, but I think we all agreed that it should have been attached to the December 10, 2012 minutes. I believe that would be the appropriate motion.
So moved then.
Can we have a little bit of discussion on this?
Yeah. Once you have a second.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. All right. Steve?
What really concerns me is that... the emails deal with a candidate, Ms. Thompson, that had withdrawn her name prior to the meeting and prior to the council having a vote. We did not actually discuss the emails. We did not have any arguments pro or con. We did not basically discuss the nomination at the council. I think we're setting a bad precedent, because all of a sudden we can start bringing in relevant or irrelevant emails and just pile it into the minutes for a permanent record, which really doesn't reflect what happened during the meeting. The meeting, the minutes are supposed to reflect what happens during the meeting. The second thing is, I think the council is busy enough without having to go through it. Now, at the 10th of December meeting, I asked Mr. Ebner if he's going to read the emails into the record. Now, if the emails were read from front to back, then I think it could be entered into the minutes. But basically, the audience out here has no idea what's entailed in these emails. It's almost like the population doesn't need to know what we're doing. We're a star chamber. We're going to be putting something into the minutes, which is none of your business. And put it mildly. So consequently, my point is, unless they're read in during the meeting, I don't think they should be put into the minutes.
I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying, but the state law makes it clear that the minutes shall include any other information that any member of the public body requests be included or reflected in the minutes. I don't think that statement could be any more clear.
It is, but
if you wanted to include a statement about the sales price of your automobile, you could ask that be included in the minutes, even though it wasn't discussed during the city council meeting. I don't know how relevant it is to what the proceedings are, but the state law tells us that we don't have to seek relevance for purposes of whether it's included or not.
Okay, well, okay, then what you're saying is we ought to put things in the minutes that are not relevant.
I'm not saying it.
No.
The state legislature
says that. The state legislature says that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, anyway,
I think there's one thing that, and the reason behind it excuse me, the reason behind this is at the November 26th meeting, there was the email included in there that referred to numerous emails. And if we can take that one out, which I don't, I have to agree with Mr. Homoke, I go back to the November 26th meeting. The email may have been irrelevant to put in there about Ms. Thompson resigning.
That was actually in the December 10 meeting.
That was a December 10th.
December 10th.
A 10th. But I mean, we could remove that email and then mine becomes immaterial too. And I don't think it's relevant to our discussion either. I mean, all Mr. Homoke had to say was he removed the appointment, didn't need an email or anything in there. Because as was stated in an email from the city attorney to all of us, you know, it's a non-action at that time when there's an appointment.
Well, it wasn't an appointment. It was a nomination.
Excuse me, a nomination.
It was never voted on as an appointment.
It wasn't
on the agenda.
Yeah. So that email in the December 10th meeting could be removed, and then all this other can be removed. And if we can do that, I'm tickled to death to do it because it's a non-issue to me. Can we do that, Mr. City Attorney?
Well, I mean, the email is already part of the package that was presented to City Council. I mean, it was, you know, you have a website that shows all of your agenda packages and everything else. It's already on the, it's been published on the website. It was part of the agenda. I'm not sure how you...
Well, we prepared the agenda. We included the email because that was the documentation that Ms. Thompson didn't want to go forward with her nomination. That was to document the record.
Well, if anything belongs any place, it belongs in the December 10th meeting because that's where the subject was discussed. And if both members of council are agreeable and it's not in violation of law, just take all the documents out. I think the confusion came because I think all of us had expected a council member made a nomination and should have withdrawn it, but that wasn't the case, so it came to the city manager to deal with. So it doesn't make any difference to me whether it's in or out. I mean, if you folks agree to take it out, that's fine. If you want to leave it in, that's fine.
I don't have a real problem with deleting. I don't know what the procedure would be on the website to take that email out.
Well, it's in the agenda packet. It's already been out
there. Yeah, but when we amend the minutes, the amendment we make for the agenda that was before, we do it this time.
Right.
And so if we do it today, then that overrides it just like it has on other things that we changed or whatever during
the... All I'm suggesting is if the hope is to take that email out of the agenda package, the agenda package is already posted.
Understand, but this would document it that it's irrelevant.
Well, the agenda is, I don't see how you can change the agenda, but you can change the minutes, and that's what we're in the midst of discussing.
We haven't voted on the 10 December minutes yet.
No, we haven't. That's what we're doing right now.
That's what we're talking about. So we can make whatever changes, you know, is legal.
And I'm very willing to do that, take it all out, and it's over and done with.
All the minutes say about that appointment is that her name had been submitted at the last meeting for appointment to the Planning Commission, but Ms. Thompson has withdrawn her name for consideration for appointment to the Planning Commission to replace Wilkinsburg, who has resigned. That's the extent of the minutes.
Yeah, the email's not attached to the minutes.
It is to the November 26th minutes.
It's in the agenda.
I mean,
it's not in the minutes that you adopt.
So if we just say it's all null and void now, we're okay then. I mean, because it was the email had nothing to do with the meeting because it was a nomination and not an appointment, right?
It was just in the agenda packet to document the fact that the citizen did not want to be appointed. She withdrew her name from consideration. But that was not in the minutes. That was just in the agenda packet.
Wouldn't it be cleaner just for us not to include this information if we're not going to include it? You requested, Ms. Everett, that we include this in this, at this meeting, to be voted on, this packet to be voted
on. Yeah, and the whole reason is the November 26th email referred to numerous emails outside. And all I'm asking is if we write in the December 10th minutes, which we're fixing to approve, that, you know, what was done, it was a nomination and not an appointment, so what we did was include for information only, I'll be okay with that. and then it all goes away. And if we can do that, I'm okay with that. Don't need to include them in today's agenda. If we say, just say in here, what was done is was a nomination, not an appointment, didn't require council action.
Reggie, are you saying that you do or you do not want these included?
I'm saying if we agree in these minutes that we're fixing to approve that what was included in the November 26th minutes wasn't necessary for the nomination.
I apologize. I'm not sure. They were not in the November 26th minutes.
That is, her email was.
Her email was in the agenda packet for December 10 to document the fact she had withdrawn her name.
It was in the agenda package, my mistake.
Right.
So in here, we just need to say that that memo was superfluous and not related to the nomination.
But she would give her name.
The purpose of the memo was simply to inform council that she had withdrawn her application. She was requesting the city council not consider her application. When her application, Mr. Homoki was actually trying to appoint her, and she withdrew her acquiescence to being appointed.
Okay. And we said it was not null and void.
The purpose of the memo was to inform council of the fact that she was actually asking that her name be taken off the list.
As I recall, Mr. Mayor said there's no need for discussion because she would
didn't have
right. So if I may, Mayor and City Attorney, so if we're on page 7, it says Jane Page Thompson's name had been submitted at the last meeting for appointment to the Planning Commission. Then it says Tama Butt. If we add in there, Council Member Homoki informed Council Ms. Thompson has withdrawn her name from consideration.
Right.
Then there would be no need for the sentence that talks about your 35 pages. If you make that modification to the minutes, that's something Council... Can't we, Mr. Attorney, do at this meeting?
Yes, sir.
I think that would satisfy all parties.
So we would remove all 35 pages of emails?
Yeah, it would not be part of the minutes, and you would remove that sentence. And the sentence that remains would read, Jane Page Thompson's name had been submitted at the last meeting for appointment to the Planning Commission. But Council Member Homoki informed Council Ms. Thompson has withdrawn her name for consideration for appointment to the Planning Commission to replace Wilkins Bird, who has resigned. Then the next sentence would be omitted.
Yeah, and I think that's the proper way to handle it because there was some discussion who should do it outside the meeting. So I think that's the proper way to do it, and then all goes away.
Okay, would you like to make the motion?
You made the original motion. Do you agree to amend your motion to state what the city manager just stated?
I agree.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, give us a second.
With amendments.
And
yes.
You agree to the amended second.
Okay. Okay. Do we have a motion and a second then?
Yes.
There we are now.
You did.
Who did it?
Mr. Ebner amended his original motion and Ms. Diggs acquiesced to the motion.
Any further discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Very good. Item 2 is presentation. We have a presentation, a proposal for Municipal Association South Carolina Municipal Achievement Award application. Senior Commission, Aiken Parks, Recreation and Tourism Department. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. Glenn Parker is here with us tonight, our Director of Parks, Recreation and Tourism. He's making his way to the microphone. The Municipal Association every year accepts applications for the Municipal Achievement Award. We had a staff retreat in December and discussed a potential submission to the Municipal Association. The problem we have is they have a very tight deadline. It's due to be filed January 28th, which is the date of your next meeting. So Glenn is here to provide an overview. We don't want to tip off the competition too much, and we're in a public forum, but we do want council to be informed about what we propose to submit to the Municipal Association, and at Horizons, Glenn will have, it'll be in your Horizons packet, we'll have the complete application for you to review as to what's gone up to the Municipal Association. Glenn, can you give us your Reader's Digest version tonight?
Sure, be glad to. Thank you, Mr. Pierce. First, I want to say it's an honor for PRT to present this year. The city's won a number of these awards. Unfortunately, what we do and the programs we offer at PRT sometimes don't fit the mold, I guess you would say, of what the Municipal Association is looking for in their award applications. So we're honored to be doing this. When we first talked about this at the department head retreat, what we talked about was a broad, comprehensive overview of everything we do for seniors in Aiken. And, you know, we talked about it, including some of the awards that have been won in Aiken. We talked about relocation, top 10 awards that the city's won, USC Aiken, Aiken Regional Chamber, those kind of things. And we were looking at broad spectrum Aiken for seniors. And as we read the application that the Municipal Association gives you, as we talked to staff, talked with Mr. Pierce, talked with the Lower Savannah Council on Government, talked with some of the members of the Senior Commission, what we decided to do is to narrow that down to a single topic of the Senior Commission. And one of the reasons for doing that is the application, and I'm sure most of you have seen it, it asks you questions about a project or a program, and it asks you specific questions about those individual projects or programs. So we felt like by focusing in on the Senior Commission, that gave us that project or program. One of the questions it asks is, what makes this unique? We've done some research, and we think this may be the only council-appointed volunteer senior commission or committee in the state. We do realize the city of Charleston has an office on aging, but that is staffed with paid employees. We also realize the lieutenant governor, and I searched his website pretty efficiently, we don't see anything else up there like this. So that in and of itself is somewhat unique, we think, we hope. In the application, one of the things we want to focus on is the report or the article that was done by Columbia University a couple of years ago. In that report, and just let me quote one of the sentences in there, it says, Aiken is the vanguard. It has already begun to grapple with what the nation as a whole will soon face. And that's where I think we can really take this. The article talks about, and we'll quote some of those articles, that Aiken's 40 to 50 years ahead of the rest of the country in how we're dealing with seniors, the population density of seniors here in the city. So that's some of the things we're going to focus on. We'll talk about how this all started. You'll remember in 2009 at your Horizons retreat, this topic first came to the table. You chose at that time to make, in 9-10, one of your goals was to establish a task force. That task force went out, interviewed a number of people, talked with the city of Charleston, and they came back with the recommendation to ask the city to look at forming a senior commission. And it was interesting that one of the things they actually explored was, don't do anything, just leave it alone, and let's just let nature take its course. But they did choose to do a senior commission. So one of the things we'll look at in the application then is the summary of the task force, what they talked about to get us to this point of having a senior commission, and then we'll look at what the senior commission is currently doing. Keeping in mind there's 11 questions in the application, and you can only have 100 words in each answer. Sounds like a lot of words till you start typing, and it's really not. You have to be very focused. They ask us strategic questions. We want to try to put the strategic plan in there, but we can't get it all in there, so we're going to have to really abbreviate to get that in there. We want to talk about the ability to replicate this program across the state. Since we are the only ones that we think are doing this right now, we feel like it'll be an easy program to pick up and take to different cities around the state and do that. And I know that's been done with other programs. I think the city has won. So we're very comfortable in going to other cities and making this presentation. Finally, when it talks about future plans, what are we going to do? How will this evolve in the future? We can talk about new recreation centers with the capital project sales tax. And when we sit down and look to build new recreation centers, you know, something that really never came to the table in the past. Seniors will be an active component of why we develop and why we develop those senior centers, or senior centers as a whole, not just senior centers. The other one that'll be on the table maybe this fall is something called the Aiken County Senior Games. Some of you may remember this a few years ago. It's sort of an Olympic style competition for seniors. And we want to work with Aiken County and with the City of North Augusta and bring this back. We've got some folks with the track club that are very interested in it. It's interesting too, we've got some folks locally who compete with this at the state level and at the national level, but there's not a local game. So we want to reestablish that. And then just to wrap it up, I think we've got a unique program here. It came from a need. You know, we developed it through a process. I think we've shown how we can replicate it in other communities. And, you know, the next part after the application, help me, Mr. Pierce, March 28th.
Something.
There you go. March 20-something is when we'll go up and actually make the presentation if we're selected before the Municipal Association. And with that, we'll involve some members of the Senior Commission. The gentleman who came before you the other week and spoke about well water. What a great example of how the city is using seniors to do some things. So we think we've got some great ammunition there to make a very good, concise presentation, and hopefully we can bring it back this year.
Mr. Mayor, that's very good. Just in case we forgot, Mr. William Price, I believe he's still the chairman of the Senior Commission, was recognized by the Washington Post about 2 years ago. You remember that?
That's right.
And I think if you dug that article up, I think that'd be a good buttressing to your argument for getting the award.
Okay.
Washington Post, it was, I believe it was Sunday edition 2 years ago. But, you know, time flies.
I think that's that same article I referenced from Columbia University. He was quoted in that article.
Yes.
I think that's the same
that
one. It's called A Brave Old World.
That's where we got the big stop signs.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Yes.
But that Post article actually quoted that stuff. That's where they got the material.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Good.
Glenn, question. Are you doing any mentoring within the senior group with little kids? I don't know if I mentioned this to you or asked the question before.
We are doing some mentor programs, especially at Smith Hazel. There's some different programs, but I'm not sure right now that's focused with the Senior Commission. So it may be difficult to weave that into the mix, but we are doing something.
It is something we would mention, Mayor, in the application.
Because in past experience, and we've had a lot of past experiences.
Yes, we have.
If you can get some little folks in there somehow and show that some of the seniors maybe are mentors to these folks after school or whatever. That's something else. If you could say this is something else the senior committee is doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And I don't know if you can work that in or not. But.
No, I can. It's one of their, and I didn't give you all their goals, but it factors into their goals.
I can tell you, Mr. Mayor, you have some seniors that are involved with Schofield, that the Chief Barranco, and I think Richard is aware of this program, a mentoring program at Schofield, that they're already signed up and been approved for a mentoring group. And they're at Schofield every week mentoring kids there. And that's been formed through the principal there, very active. It's the South Aiken Presbyterian Church and Friendship Baptist Church, both churches involved with that.
Yeah, and Chief and I are working on another program that they're doing through public safety that we're hoping to incorporate into this also.
So we can expect to get our award at the municipal conference this summer?
No, I like no your pressure. Attitude. Yeah, that's...
Where is it going to be?
Well, hopefully.
Nice.
Greenhill.
That's right. Glenn, thank you so much.
Glenn, appreciate
like
the job
one.
That you and your staff do. You really dressed up really nice for us tonight.
Thank you.
Come on, watch. You got the time.
Well, what we'll do then is we'll go forward with the application, and again, we'll have some more materials for council at the Horizons Retreat as to actually what was filed.
Okay. Under old business, next item is appointments and discussions of appointees to city boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thanks, Mayor. We have 12 pending appointments for vacancies on different boards, commissions, and committees. We have six tonight for council to consider. Mayor, you recommended McDonald Law be reappointed to the Design Review Board. That term would expire December 31st, 2014. You also recommended Mark Hudgens for reappointment to the Environmental and Energy Committee. That term would expire December 31st, 2014. Councilmember Diggs recommended Jason Price for reappointment actually to the Board of Zoning Appeals. That term expires December 1, 2015. Councilmember Dewar had recommended that Ann Dix be appointed to the Community Development Committee, replacing Mary Ella Brown. That term would expire September 2, 2014. Councilmember Homoki recommended Bob Newbern for appointment to the Environmental and Energy Committee to replace Dr. Kent Cubbage. That term runs through December 31st, 2013. And he also recommended Dr. Kent Cubbage for appointment to the Planning Commission to replace Wilkins Bird. That term would expire December 1st, 2014. For council's consideration tonight would be the six appointments to these various boards, commissions, and committees.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I'll move approval of the appointment of the six individuals, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion?
I would want to thank Ann Dick. She's here, one of the six, and I thank her for her agreement to serve.
That was Ann. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. A new business, item one, first reading of an ordinance to annex 1.03.
Any other appointments?
I'm sorry, what did I do? Did we vote?
New appointments.
New appointments.
Any other?
Are there any other nominations for next meeting?
Mr. Mayor?
Not appointments, but.
Mr. Homoki.
For the community development, I'd like to nominate Trudy S. Boyd.
Okay. All right.
I think you have an information sheet.
Any others? No others? Okay. Now moving on. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance to annex 1.03 acres at 2424 Whiskey Road and to zone it planned commercial PC. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property consisting of approximately 1.03 acres of land, more or less owned by Evie Jones and located at 2424 Whiskey Road, and to zone the same plan commercial and to approve a proposed concept plan. That ordinance is in your materials. There's also a memorandum from Susan DeBrule as acting chair of the Planning Commission that's dated December 12, 2012. Ms. Jones does have this property on the south side of Aiken. She and WIN Development LLC have joined in this application. This is the property that's immediately adjacent to the Lowe's on the south side. And the mattress firm is proposing to construct a mattress store on the site. On page 45 of your materials that this write-out has up for your viewing right now gets the location of the property. And then if you look back on page 48 and 49, it shows the concept plan for the location of the mattress firm, as well as a conceptual design on page 49 of what the store would look like. Planning Commission did review these requests at their December 11 meeting, and they unanimously voted to recommend annexation based upon the conditions that we've included with my memo. There's 10 conditions there, and I just incorporate those by reference. So at first reading, for council consideration is approval of an ordinance to annex the 1.30 acres and to zone it planned commercial and to approve the proposed concept plan that's in the materials.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move approval. That we approve this on first reading to annex 1.03 acres of, at 2420 and 2424 Whiskey Road, and that it be zoned planned commercial with the 10 conditions that's been established by our committee.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Councilmember Homoki just seconded.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show
yes,
hand.
Wait. A couple things that I think, you know, it's a good firm there, and if you look at the less to the lay of the land, it's basically going to is a strip center, and it will be in the future. On the page 48 of the agenda package, if on that particular page it shows a retention pond, and I don't think it's a necessary item. When I was at the planning commission, who said that the pond that, and I forgot what we call that big
George's
pond. George's
pond
is supposed to take care of that whole area. And I think we ought to delete that off of their plan, because when we went through that, that pond was to take care of everything except the Lowe's and Hobby Lobby and that, which have their own. And I kind of hesitate leaving that distinction on the...
Well, this is just first reading. Unfortunately, Mr. Morris is out of town and not available now. Mr. Evans is here. Do you have any we probably need Mr. Morris for input on that. Council has an option just to approve it on first reading. We can come to second reading on the 28th and have
if you do that,
explanation.
I think it'd be wise to take it off of the drawing 10 years from now. Somebody says you didn't put it in, and they'll be back in here and say, gee, I want to double my store, but it'll be in the pond.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I would like to, Mr. Pierce, for staff to look at, it looks like there's about, if we extended Athol about 500 feet, and this property adjoins Athol, it looks like that would make a way for people to get out at a red light as well as tie into those the rest of that shopping center. There are exits onto Athol now, and I would assume from some of the powderhouse connector money could be used for that, but that would sure enhance that area. You know, as I'm making a suggestion, not only for me, but if they would look at that and see.
And that's certainly a discussion we can have between now and second reading. It does show us about the adjacent properties.
And but see, you can see there's some easements in there already for roadways and stuff, and this would provide a lighted access behind Cracker Barrel, because we go about a third of the way into the strip retail center already. So it's a suggestion that I think would be worth discussing at the next meeting. And that's just two comments to take a look at, please.
Okay.
I'm all in favor of doing it. I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other comments? Show of hands, please, all in favor of passing on first reading.
Our plan then would be to bring this back, Mayor, at the 28th, and we'll address those concerns.
Okay. Item 2 is a resolution and first reading of an ordinance to exchange property on Colonial Parkway near Carolina Bay.
Mr. Beatonboat, can we call on you at this time? Mr. Beatonboat is going to help me with this. We've actually got two different actions by council. First is a resolution authorizing the acceptance of property located on Colony Parkway from Carlos F. Garcia, and then first reading of an ordinance that's entitled an ordinance authorizing the city of Aiken to convey real property to Carlos F. Garcia. Carlos owns property on Colony Parkway, and you do have a aerial photo and a line drawing. When PRT's group, Glenn's group, Phil Burley worked on, thank you, that's great. We did the gyro tracking of the Carolina Bay and built the observation deck. And as sometimes happens, you have property. The black line shows kind of the existing property used by the Garcias. They purchased that house from the Woodard Estate and have repaired that. That's where the RCS corporate headquarters are here in Aiken. And the yellow line is the existing property line. You'll see it's kind of an angular line. The black line is the proposed result of the land swap. Mr. Morris has worked with the Garcias. I spoke with Mr. Garcia late last week, and they just see this as a win-win where we would have better access to the property. They would have a straight line, and the swap is within 2 square feet of being even. So staff has reviewed this, PRT staff, our folks at Engineering and Utilities, and we certainly had an ongoing conversation with the Garcias just to make sure that what we were doing would be beneficial to all of us, and it is. So for consideration on first reading is the ordinance. That's to convey the property we own to the Garcias. That would be Tract B. And then to accept from the Garcias Tract A-1 that's shown on the plat that we've given you tonight.
Okay, so we need 2 votes on this.
Yes. The first would be the resolution to accept the property from the Garcias. That will allow us to then go forward with the ordinance to convey a similar amount of land back to them.
We should do them separately.
Okay, do it.
Okay. I move approval of a resolution authorizing the acceptance of property located in Colony Parkway from Carlos F. Garcia.
Okay. I'll second it. Any comments?
Yes. I just want to make sure that I understand the swap and what Richard is conveying to us. A1, you said the 2572 square feet, which is 0.059 acres, is Richard Carlos Garcia.
That's right.
And A2, which is 3577 square feet, 0.082 acres for us.
Mm-hmm. A2, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's right. And you're saying that is going to be almost an even swap?
It's within about 2 square feet. It gives us, with the swap and the black line being the new RCS lot line, mm-hmm. that gives us better access on the Colony Parkway on the southern portion of the parcel. We have a narrow access now. We're going to about double our frontage on Colony Parkway because that will become part of the Carolina Bay process.
And this gives us easier access to the ditches for water runoff. Is that what we're trying to?
It does. It does. And just access for the public as well. We do have a pedestrian access there on that southern portion.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that one? Comments? If not, show of hands. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
And Mr. Mayor, I'll move we approve an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to convey real estate property to Carlos F. Garcia.
Okay. I second it.
Okay. All right. Any discussion on that part? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Pass this unanimously. Okay. Item 3 is approval of a historic marker commemorating the Aiken Graded School at Kershaw Street and Hampton Avenue. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We have a memo in the agenda packet from Philip Mary, who's the chair of the Design Review Board, Alan Riddick, on behalf of the Aiken County Historical Society, has proposed a historic marker commemorating the Aiken Graded School to be placed at the corner of Kershaw Street Northeast and Hampton Avenue. That application is in your packet, starts at page 71. And I think, yes, the proposed design would be very similar to Exhibit C, which is on page 75. The location of the marker is on page 74, and the wording for the marker is on page 76. The Aiken Graded Schools we included in the materials was built in the 1920s. It was funded by Julius Rosenwald, who donated money for the construction of schools throughout the American Southeast for the education of African-American children. And this would commemorate the school that was constructed in Aiken and has the details included on page 76. So this is a one-reading item, and it would be approval for location of that historic marker commemorating the Aiken Graded School.
Okay. All right. You know, I had only one thought when I looked at this, and that was 7 feet tall, if I'm understanding this correctly.
I went to school there. All of my siblings attended school there. It was quite a
quite a facility, a huge basement area.
Yeah. Just seemed kind of tall.
I think I talked to Mr. Reddick on that. Or do we need a motion before we discuss it?
We should. You're right.
I talked to Mr. Reddick and I asked him if it what they call a two-dash marker, and I think he's here tonight.
I didn't see him.
Or someone is here. A two-dash marker is a state standard, and that's all the markers around here except the one at the Holly Building. All the rest of them, and the one that we just put in at our church, and there's another two-dash, the Coker Springs.
Yep.
I mean, they're 7'0" to the state standard. So, but I did ask him what it was when he in relation to that.
Okay.
Now, I'm certainly going to support it, but I wonder, are we getting to the point where there needs to be some thought to how many we can have? I mean, we just celebrated, 175? There must be hundreds of these things that we can sequentially put up that recognize points in Aiken that are of immense interest to our history. Does anybody have any concerns that we need to...
I think it's very significant to the people who attended the school, which is
I'm not talking about this one. I'm all for it. I'm just saying the markers in general. I know the one we did downtown was a little consternation because it was so large.
Oh, that was on the explosion, gas explosion.
You know, and these things are kind of large. So if nobody else has a concern, I certainly don't.
Now, this one is not going to be the size of the gas explosion sign. It's going to be more along the lines of the other markers that were in the materials.
And this comes, I assume, strictly from the Historical Society.
They pay for it.
Do they coordinate with other agencies that would have an input?
Well, this is coordinated by the state, and that's why when you all of them you see with a two dash on it, and
right. It
goes by alphabetical. Abbeville's first, and then Aiken is second through all 46 counties. And I got familiar with this when we did the one at our church.
Yeah, okay.
I think Aiken, if Alan was here, he could tell. I think Aiken is second with a number of them.
Yeah.
These actually get put on historical tours, and people actually go around the state looking at all of these. And and it's like you say, you could get another 10 or 15, which is probably unlikely, but these do enhance your tourism.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we chatted some time ago about the Union Street development, and this would probably be just on the northern edge of it, so it makes a tremendous sense, because we were going to have a walking trail leading up to Schofield School.
That was
correct.
And again,
that's
what...
included? Walking trail?
It could be.
Since the markers being placed there?
It could be.
It could.
And again, that's why you have the design review board to make sure that you don't have a concentration of signs that's appropriate for the location and the appearance of it.
Mr. City Manager, if I might add for the record, I know we're going to include it in here, but I think this is pretty significant, knowing the folks that still remain in Aiken that went to Aiken Graded, and knowing the history of what evolved with that school, if you will read what's on the back of this for public record, if you don't mind. Because I think it's quite a bit of history. It's got to be included, but I think it's pretty significant.
Oh, you mean the information on page 76?
Mm-hmm.
It says, this park is the site of Aiken Graded School, a two-story brick school built 1924 to 1925. It was built for black pupils in grades 1-7, and was one of almost 500 schools in South Carolina funded in part by the Julius Rosenwald Foundation, which was in existence from 1917 to 1932. Black Aiken physician Dr. C.C. Johnson raised $3,500 in the black community toward the total cost of $33,500. Black brick mason Elliot Ball supervised its construction. Then on the reverse side, the sign will say, the school described as, quote, one of the best in the state, unquote, when it was being built, had 10 classrooms, a library, and an auditorium seating 600. It opened in the fall of 1925 with Principal W.D. Drake, 9 teachers, and almost 300 students. The school, the only black elementary school in Aiken until new schools began to be built in 1954, closed in 1969. It was demolished in 1973.
And Rosalie Johnson
as part of the Johnson family that gave the money to get the school built. And the Ball family still exists in Aiken, so it's quite a bit of a history that still remains that connected the school.
Ms. Johnson.
And I want to thank the the Historic Committee for this designation and recognition, commemorating this.
Yeah. They've done a good job.
They really have.
On many different historic sites.
And you'll need a motion in a second, Mayor, just so
we have that.
We have it.
We've got it already.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Any other discussion? If not, Shan.
Who made the motion?
I'm sorry, I didn't get who made the motion.
I think Ebner did.
I think we sort of fought over that.
Reggie made the motion.
Three of you seconded?
Whoever won the second.
Who made the second motion?
We both did, but give it. That it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Somebody speak up.
I'll take it.
I think you did. I think you did, Gail.
I move that Gail Diggs take it.
Right, and that was unanimous, Mayor.
Okay, yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was, yes. Okay, you want to discuss some things, information?
Yes, Mayor, I provided some additional information to Council under our normal issues and updates memo, which we've included in the agenda packet. Just to remind Council, in addition to the chamber dinner that's Friday night, we have a place for Council members and their spouses. We also have on January 31st, Thursday night, 6 o'clock, this room, our first notification under the Safe Communities Initiative. This is a call-in of actors that public safety is going to serve notice that they have a right to make a choice, and the choices are three things. They can die living the lifestyle that they're living, go to jail, or choose to do the right thing. It's not a conversation, it's a notification hearing, and I spoke with Chief Branko last week and then again today, and we have law enforcement and prosecution representatives from the federal, state, and local level who will be here sitting in these chairs, notifying some folks in the front row that it's time to make a decision. We went to High Point, North Carolina on December 18 and saw their notification hearing. They've been doing this for 10 years. They've notified over 1,000 convicted felons of their time to make a choice. And their recidivism rate has been 9%. They've experienced a 56% crime reduction rate. So it's been a very effective program for them. You'll recall that they visited with us back in the, I think it was October, actually, that they came down. So we went up there in December. Right. So it's something that's important. It kind of brings home what we said we were going to do as far as taking our community back. So it should be a good event. I've got the mid-year managers meeting in Clemson Thursday and Friday, so I won't be with you. Mr. Beedenbo will be in charge. Be glad to help you with what you need help with. There's also in the materials a January 14 memo from me. Council had expressed an interest in staffing at the Department of Public Safety. It shows that we are in process of training 17 new public safety officers. It gives you the status of their training, and as well we also have the composition of the department on page 89 of the materials. So that was in the response to request by council that we provide you with that update. And also we have the Horizons retreat coming up on February 1st and 2nd. And we do plan to have on that agenda a discussion of the capital project sales tax projects for us to work on in the coming year and coming years. We have provided you with a timeline, and we also provided an accounting of the funds that have been spent so far on the second penny, capital project sales tax 2. And we'll be discussing capital project sales tax 3 as well at Horizon.
Give us that time again for the Safe Communities, Alice.
That's fine. It's Thursday, January 31st at 6 p.m. And then Mr. Ebner had provided me with a memo, too, about roadways in Gem Lakes.
I think a little bit further discussion on the capital project sales tax. Mr. Pierce and I have had several discussions on that, and he's going to do, did we say, reconciliation of the CPST2 to go back over these and reconcile the schedules and everything versus the appropriate money coming in, which is around $31 million versus $28 million. And then he'll go through it in detail there, what if any action council has to take on that. And then also explain to us about how we're operating CPST 3, which is a little different in the past. If some of you recall, we had quite a discussion of who's in charge of the projects during the audit review. So he's got the going to have a good detailed presentation of what council needs to do in relation to these, one to close out the other one and one going forward.
Yeah, specifically based on our experience with the first penny, council reserved the right to determine the order in which the projects would be completed. And I've had the city attorney review that as well, so we make sure we do this the right way, the legal way.
Is this during Horizon now?
Yeah, we'll talk Horizon. About that Saturday morning at Horizons, because that will help us not only with budgeting, because we're getting ready, of course, to start February with the budget. It's that time of year again, but it will also help us with goal setting as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of comments I'd like to make. I noticed in the issues in memo that city manager issues that we've laid out a lot of bids. One bid went to a company in Williston, one went to a company in Greenwood, and one went to Augusta. Is it possible to consider giving some kind of bonus, a percentage bonus to a local company?
You already have that.
We do. And
we
still
have a local vendor preference.
And
if you're within the city limits, it's 4%. If you're in the county, you get a 2% consideration.
Our companies are still losing these bids, or are they not bidding for them?
It's hard to generalize, Mr. DeWar. We certainly make that available to everyone. A lot of the businesses on some of the larger projects just don't have the capacity to do that kind of. Anybody's welcome to bid, but they have to meet the specifications and they have to qualify.
Okay. And the other thing that I noticed in the some of the boards and commissions that we've been dealing with, allowing Walmart, each of the Walmart stores, to have temporary storage over the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I just happen to think this is the same Walmart that we're trying to negotiate access to their store on Whiskey from the Pawnee Connector Road. And I wonder if it might not be appropriate to kind of bring that issue up as they come and talk about wanting some things from the city. I mean, it's a sort of a mutual thing. I can't imagine it's illegal, but it would.
I mean, again, as far as the application that Walmart makes to the Board of Zoning Appeals, there's a specific state set criteria as to whether or not to grant that. We have a continuing dialogue with Walmart. They're interested, depending. So it's one of those kind of back and forth to Bentonville on that.
It's the other thing of more serious concern to me. I don't know about the rest of the council, but I haven't gone too many days without a call from someone or a story about someone who's been a victim of our crime. And it's quite distressing to find out that we are down 17 positions with an additional 7, if I read this correctly. So we're down 24 positions. I'm kind of very much surprised. I'd like to know what happened to all of our folks, because in our city report, we were only down 8. So between, and I don't know the date on that city report. It was prepared, obviously, before we received it. But 8 to 24, I mean, that's 16 people that we've lost. And I'd like to see a listing of who we lost and why we lost and so forth. It takes a year, as we have been briefed, for these folks to be in complete training.
Well,
and so, I mean, I just want to express some distress at the low manning.
Well, the patrol division has been staffed with other divisions, so we're covering the shifts for patrol. Again, we've had turnover from retirements. You know, we've announced those to you, shared that with council. Mm-hmm. And we have had, you know, three or four officers who've gone to a different agency. And as a result of the tragedies that we experienced last December, January, we had some officers that just chose not to continue a professional career in law enforcement. And from everything we've consulted with the folks on the national level, none of this was unexpected. And certainly, I know we've got a committed force. We've got a great leader in Chief Charles Barranco. We can provide more detail, but that would be the cause of why folks have...
I'd like to see why we're losing to folks, and that goes hand in hand with what I think you promised to give us at Horizons as well, the information on the compensation of our public safety people so that we...
Well, we've got that in the materials tonight. Yeah. That's on page 89.
Well, while we're talking about this subject, I don't think we ought to leave it without saying what's positive going on. Mm-hmm. I've already talked about what's going to be happening shortly with the safe communities and what have you. And, Richard, I wonder if the chief would like to speak on the positives.
Sure. Chief Barranco, could you kind of bring us up to date, not only on safe communities, but other initiatives by the department?
It's my understanding that we have gotten some folks that have been prepared either in the service or whatever. I don't know the numbers. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. That have been able to step in pretty fast. But
Charles, Mr. Mayor, before yes. The chief starts, let me hark back about two questions ago. Is there a set-aside program for SDBs and anything along that nature as far as contracting with the city, small disadvantaged businesses? Do you have any set-asides?
I'd have to get you that information. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay. I mean, is there an overt program to engage disadvantaged businesses or not?
Again, we'd have to do that research. Okay. I can't tell you off the top of my head. If you let me know, I can bring it to the meeting, but I didn't know that was your question.
No, that's fine.
And I think years ago, many, many, many years ago, I go back, there was something set aside for small businesses, disadvantaged businesses, but I think we discontinued that. But
yeah, we'll get you that information.
Maybe we should.
Yes.
And before the chief begins, please, I am not at all critical of anything about public safety at this point. I'm just expressing shock and concern at the fact that we need 24 vacancies out of a force of, 150 about? I mean, that's a large number of vacancies, given the fact that it takes a year to train. I mean, last week I had three calls about people that were victims, and the community was traumatized for a couple of days.
You're talking about with the break-ins and
yes.
The car break-ins and home yes. invasions? Well, you know, public safety just announced they made the third and they think final arrest yes. in that case.
Oh, we got the folks, but nevertheless, people were...
And then the carjacking at Christmas time, they made an arrest within 15 hours of the incident. So I think public safety has shown us the professionalism and capacity they have to solve crime. And I think everybody's always concerned about crime, quite naturally so, and that's the kind of thing that gets talked about over the morning coffee or, you know, at a luncheon spot in downtown. But I've seen nothing but professionalism and dedication from public safety. They go way beyond the call and stay on a case until it's solved. And certainly, since we did have the vacancies on patrol, public safety, since it's a public safety concept, has made the shift, and folks need to understand our response times are still amongst some of the best in the state. They can certainly call public safety when they see suspicious activity, and they will have an officer come and respond to their call. We continue to take those calls for service. And again, the Safe Communities Initiative on the 31st, we've talked about it and talked about it. But we really believe that's the direction we need to take, and that it redesigns and reinvigorates law enforcement efforts to a meaningful result. Chief.
Well, I'm really excited to stand before you tonight to talk about safe communities, because all the things that Mr. Pierce just relayed to you is an example of how the trickle-down effect is going to affect our whole community. You know, the reason for starting this were some high-profile violent crimes that occurred in Aiken, and it wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. It was slow and methodical, and a lot of research was done, and information was collected. And we're real excited about the end of the month to culminate to a lot of hard work by a lot of different people that we expect to make that difference in our Aiken community. The number, the national recidivism rate for violent offenders is 64%. In the state of North Carolina, it's 44%. In High Point, it's now down to 9%. The numbers that he gave you earlier, I just don't, those numbers are amazing. I've talked to Chief Sumner on a regular basis for guidance to make sure we're still in the right ballpark, real excited about your support and this community's support of safe communities.
Chief, how was your deployment affected with a loss of a shortage of 24 people?
24, I may have misunderstood it. We've never had 24 vacancies.
Well, you do now, according to this. So we're 18 in training, well, and you have six openings.
They are in training, and we were able to restructure the department to focus to provide the services citizens have come to expect to the call takers that are going to answer these calls of service on a daily basis. So that area has not suffered.
So how many, well, the people that are in training, as I understand it from what you've said before, can't work unsupervised. They're, depending on what they're doing, they're either in school or OJT or fire school and so forth. So how many people do you have on patrol as we speak?
That's given us an opportunity to double up some of the cars that we're actually using now. So they are doing some of the on-the-job training out on the street fighting crime or in the fire departments being able to do their training on that side of it. So, and there are so many different phases, I can't give you an exact
number. Sure. No, I wouldn't expect you to. Yeah.
I think we discussed last week you have 7 FTOs, so they'd actually be out patrolling.
Yes, sir. Those FTOs are out on the street answering calls with seasoned officers now as we speak. So it actually gives you a little bit more eyes out on the street.
Yeah. But how many patrols do you have for the shift that's working right now?
I'd have to guess. Yeah. Because of the recruit officers in training, they ride with a seasoned officer, so there may be in one car. However, they may not need a backup to take them from another side of town or whatever it may be. So there's probably 9 or 10.
Okay, but the people that are in training can't work unsupervised. They've got to work with a fully trained officer.
But we also have tactical vehicles of 2 seasoned officers at times together.
Yes, you've told us about that in the past. I guess I must be the only one concerned about it, but it just seems there's a large number of vacancies.
I'd like to be very clear. We are quite concerned about all city operations and make sure they're properly staffed and delivering the level of service that the city of Aiken rightfully has come to expect based upon the taxes they pay. We are making sure that the officers who are out there and solo and on the streets are trained. Chief, as I understand it too, our training course is actually a shorter time period than when you came through and trained for public safety. Is that?
We expect to get at least 4 of those officers out in a time shorter than when I first came on. And the academies have doubled, and one of them has doubled in time and added an additional 4 weeks. So we have really moved the recruits through the training very quickly.
And, you know, after the tragedy that we've suffered in December and January, I think the academy has been very accommodating to the city of Aiken to make sure that slots were made available as soon as possible so that as we had these recruits, there was a space for them to commence their training without delay.
Yes. Mr. Mayor and Chief, my only concern, there's several, has been with proper training, and certainly based on what you've stated, you're working to achieve that. Secondly, compensation, to ensure that we compensate our officers enough that we retain them after we train them and they don't move to somewhere else. And thirdly, that we meet your request for equipment needs, that we provide our officers with whatever they need to ensure their safety with this community. Now, those are my 3 major concerns, to help to support you and the staff to stay out of harm's way. So
we feel the support. Thank you.
I got a question, Chief. When you send a candidate or a patrolman or an officer to either the FBI Academy or the Academy, is there a payback period where they have a commitment not to leave the force for a certain period of time, or is that not the way it works?
Yes, sir. With the Criminal Justice Academy, I think it's 2 years.
2 years.
Post-graduation, that if they are hired by another agency, that there will be some type of compensation for that. Yeah. And there's a percentage.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Chief, there was a coverage on, I think, Channel 6 News today about public safety officers, and they showed a piece with them training and so forth. And I think Dick said it takes about a year for them to go through, but I think on the news it said something like 18 months.
It can take about up to 18 months because of what Mr. Pierce was talking about, the South Carolina Criminal Justice Academy.
So is it actually a year before they get out there and start fighting crime, or is it 18 months? Which one do they do?
Well,
I know, like I said, it was sort of confusing.
Sure, I don't know that I can give you some of them can be out on their own in a year.
Uh-huh.
Because depending on the scheduling of the different academies, and because we only have a certain amount of slots, the Criminal Justice Academy was able to give us a larger number of slots, so we were able to process some of those folks in a little faster. Now, we don't have that large number of slots. We're getting two or three or four here and there. So we had the 6th of January, we had four start. We have three start the 26th of January because they couldn't all be in the same class. So there has been some scheduling, and that's really what takes up the time, whether they can get into the academies or not.
And we actually did have some new hires that were already police officers. They just had to be trained in the public safety concept, so their timeline would be shorter.
Exactly, yes.
Chief, with succession planning, we are moving those officers up internal that have seniority, that has great performance. We are moving them into higher positions to retain them. Is that safe to say?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
One thing that we need to, all of us as citizens need to do, obviously, is to make sure that we do those easy things and lock our doors, don't leave anything in the car seats, and those kinds of things. One thing we'll do, I talked with Richard today about it, we will put out an article in our Aiken Report that's very much like what was in the paper with that tips on how you can be safe. I hope everybody read that. Maybe you did. It was a very good article.
Very well.
And we'll show that. That'll go to all of our homes. Everybody that gets city water will get a copy, at least in their mailbox. Let's put it that way. So maybe that'll help. And we can do that on some regular basis too, Chief. Just to keep that reminder up. But so many of the crimes that we have are because people just won't lock the doors, and they leave things out in the car seats and all that kind of stuff. You know,
it's hard absolutely to believe that, unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
It is, and I appreciate those comments. You know, we ran an article in the summer Waterville newsletter, Mayor, with folks going on summer vacation, and it does, with the light of the recent occurrences, bear repeating. I don't think you can say the message often enough or loud enough. But the other part of that, too, is when folks see suspicious activity or something just doesn't seem right, they need to call public safety. I mean, we're glad to come investigate and check that out. There's a lot that we can do working together. This whole Safe Communities initiative would not have been possible without the very strong support that we've had, not just from the law enforcement and prosecution communities, but from the citizens themselves.
That's right.
As you've said so many times at our April volunteer luncheon, you know, we can't do what we need to do without our citizens. And they've been very supportive, very willing to help us, and want to help us. That was the clear message we got from the Food for Thoughts events that we did at Virginia Acres Park and then down at Eustis Park. The citizens are ready to help.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank.
What I'd like to do at our 31st meeting, this all stemmed from one man from Woodside, who called us, and unfortunately, Scotty Richardson had been shot. right after he called us and told us about his son who worked in High Point. Right.
Yep.
And so we need to get him here to thank him for bringing that information to us.
I offered that. We saw him at High Point on December 18. He's actually working with Greensboro now and was not going to be able to be with us. But I did extend the
invitation.
But
his father was the one that placed the call here to us. And we need to get him here to publicly thank him for bringing this the information. And then we convene after... We got that information from him.
It's a wonderful sentiment. Again, I extended it to the son and to the parents. The parents have actually now moved up to Greensboro to be with him.
That.
So, yeah.
Okay.
We'll double check, be sure, because they're more than welcome to come. But a little change in circumstances since that meeting.
Right, it was a great idea.
I was starting to say that one of my constituents sent me an email that included comments that... Captain Turnow had given to him, and those were the 10 things to do. They're so obvious, it's almost embarrassing to even say them. As you say, lock your door.
Right.
I can tell you, growing up in Boston, if I'm 10 feet away from my car, my door's locked. I just learned to do that. Maybe a lot of us in the Northeast, I grew up that way, but I sent that out in my email, and I got a lot of comments from it, and I guess you just have to keep beating a dead horse because you can't put that kind of information out too often.
You cannot.
Well, too bad we can't have it like a, and I know it costs money, and we're not here to spend more money, but I wish we could do something almost a magnet style, and it don't have to be expensive, even if it's cardboard, if it have a magnet on the back, put it on your refrigerator, because people forget, and I know I keep a lot of reminders on my refrigerator, because I'm getting older, and I do have senior moments. I think if we had something, maybe even magnet style, whether it was out of paper, cardboard, something inexpensive, to go into that, in our water bill or something small that we could put on the refrigerator to remind us. People forget.
Yeah, and of course we'll have the article. They could cut it out and put it up there too. Mm-hmm. That would be no extra cost at all.
Right. Yeah. The chief citizens can tell you when they're going on vacation, and you'll. Patrol the houses?
Absolutely. We do a house check program daily.
Okay.
And, of course, still the neighborhood watch programs are active.
Yes, ma'am.
Without any betraying any trade secrets, the High Point concept actually work where citizen participation helped you identify who the perpetrators were in this last... string of car break-ins and home invasions?
It's really still an ongoing investigation to wrap some things up. So.
Yeah.
Chief, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good work.
Ms. Lee?
Well, I just hope that our public officers are receiving all of the financial backing that they need, and I am... more interested in crime prevention than catching the criminals. I'd like to see crime prevented a little bit more, and I know that takes human resources and financial resources. But the point I wanted to make is this. Most of us now are connected through our cell phones. All of my friends carry cell phones. Most of us still have a house phone, but we never use it. I don't know why we have ours. I guess just because my husband hates change. And I was just wondering about that red alert system we have. When we got our call, it was on the house phone, which is away from the bedrooms, and it didn't get heard. And eventually, I guess somebody in the house picked it up. But had it come through on our cell phones, which are plugged in right there in the bedroom, and I think a lot of people have their cell phones like that, we would have had it. Had we been out in the yard or away from the house, we would have got the message. So my question is there a way for the residents to contact whoever is in charge of this red alert system to provide our cell phone numbers if we feel like that's a more effective way to reach us for these calls?
Maybe the chief can
the
help
chief
us.
Can speak
chief can
to
answer that question, Rosalie.
Yes, ma'am, there is. If you go to the Aiken County website and click on the Code Red alert that she's speaking of, you can put all your information in there to include what number you would prefer them to call, whether it's a cell phone or a landline, so you can let the service know where you would prefer to be called.
That's the Aiken County website?
That needs to get out then, that information.
Yes, sir. There's been several media bulletins on it, and maybe it's just time for another one like we talked about.
Okay. We'll put that in the Water Bill newsletter as well, Mayor, just so the citizens will have that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Fox.
Good.
Thank you, Chief.
Mayor, I'd like to add something.
Sure.
And this relates a little bit to what Glenn Parker mentioned in terms of his the seniors in this town. We have the Aiken Young Professionals that are here, and that's a pretty huge group of about 250 active young professionals. And I'm sorry our chamber representative left, but was having a talk with David Jamison, and he said, Leslie, as you all talk about the young professionals, and they want to come to us to make a presentation, Richard, at some point in time, probably before at our next meeting, but you should hear from them. In terms of, as young professionals, what they're interested in, but David said to me, don't forget about Aiken Young's young families. And we've got to focus on the young families in this town and what we're doing in terms of having activities for young families as well. There was a Bill Taylor sent us something today regarding the demographic trends and the economic trends in the state. And the young people that we're losing in this state for various reasons, but it has had all kinds of trends. And certainly, looking at those trends as I reviewed it today, we do not look good in this state as it relates to trying to attract and maintain young families and young professionals. So we've got to look at that, be open to ideas that the young professionals are bringing, and also young families as well. So that's what I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I think the Intelligent Cities Institute has some promise in attracting those young professionals. Absolutely.
Okay, we need to, if council agrees, go into executive session to receive legal advice from our
city attorney. I think Mr. Edna had a question.
Is it appropriate that I talk about Jim Lake Streets just a second to line us up for the future? There's a Mr. Decker and Mr. Fairchild here tonight, and unfortunately this didn't get put in the minutes, but I'll discuss it at the 28th meeting. And on the February 11th meeting, the citizens that are what's called the Jim Lakes Extension Area are going to come and present to council their concerns about the roads. And there's been meetings and so forth in the neighborhood with the city and the developers. I think there's, if you go back to 2007, and this coincides with the beginning of the street installation out there, and also the discussions about the beginning of the road failures and also the beginning of the numerous water leaks that have occurred in the city. So I think a key point in the Jim Lakes Extension Roads, you can't get the excuse from the developer or anybody else that they didn't know we had problems and concerns with road installation in the city. Mr. Kistner was at the meetings, and at the time I was making presentations to City Council about infrastructure and road issues there. So I think this is going to be an important meeting to be sure that we all understand, do we have a problem or we don't have a problem. And these roads have, you know, the houses, there's about 85 or 90% of the houses already built and occupied. And I think there's only like four left to build out of the 35 houses left. So I think it's going to be an important discussion, and I'll go a little more detail in issues and concerns at the next meeting.
Okay.
But the February 11th will be a key meeting. I've made a list of information for Mr. Pierce to provide from the city and our developers or DHEC or whoever. And it's similar to what I've collected over the years. So we'll discuss that a little further at the January 28th, and then Mr. Decker and Mr. Fairchild will make their presentations with the citizens here that signed the petitions on the 11th of February.
Yeah, they have it.
Okay.
We've got that on the agenda.
Any other comments now?
Mayor, I think we just need to note that we do have both candidates for City Council with us tonight. We have Rashad Gaines as well as Philip Mary. But we also have a county council candidate with us tonight, Mr. McMichael.
Thank you for being with us.
County council.
Each and every one.
County council.
Okay, anything else?
You wanted to take the vote to go into executive session.
Yes, we do. We need to go into executive session, if you agree, to receive legal advice from our city attorney. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved.
Okay.
Yes.
Who seconded?
I did.
Okay, Steve, all in favor, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. But we need a vote to come out officially. Do we have a
second
motion and a second? We do have that, and we have returned from our legal briefing by our attorney, and no voting took place, no decisions made. And that's the end. We're back now. We will adjourn from our city council meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how that lays out. It'd be interesting. I asked Tom Young for some help.
See ya.
You got the district.
Hey, Steve.
Thank you.
Z asked me when we came in there. She said, "Thanks for being 30 minutes. More than 30 minutes. Come on. I thought it might be."
I told her
it was so bad.
Don't plan on it. I told her it takes 30 minutes for her.